Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Inner Fight Podcast. My name is Marcus Smith. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've been listening to the podcast for a few years, and by that, in this particular case, I mean for 5.5 years, then today's guest is a voice you would have heard before. Yes, back in November of 2018, September or November, 2018, episode number 458 was the first time today's guest was on the show. In that show, he shared some amazing thoughts, stats, and a little glimpse into his life. Since that time, his life, like everyone's life, has gone on. There's been ups, there's been downs. In 2023, there was perhaps something that happened in his life that, as we hear in today's show, was maybe a huge wake-up call, a knock at the door, a sign, a signal, a stop to make him think about the way he was living his life, what he was doing to his body, and actually what might happen if life ended. It all sounds a little bit doom and gloom. And if he hadn't have reacted the way that he reacted, then I'm sure it would be. But if you do remember the show 458 and the mindset that this guy has, you'll not be surprised about what he says today. This week's show announcements, I did mention it last week, but I thought I would mention it again this week. We've had some questions about it. The Inner Fight Academy, led by Jerome, is live. It happens every single day, Monday through Thursday, 4 times a week, 4 o'clock till 5 o'clock. Reach out to Jerome, jh@innerfight.com. It is for aspiring athletes, I guess, is the best way. It's very sports specific. He's got some rugby guys in there, and he is helping these young people to develop, to get stronger in the gym, which translates with the idea that it obviously translates over to sport. If you're not sports specific, or your child is not sports specific, but is looking for a all-round fitness program, then obviously our kids and teens program with Bonnie, which has been running successfully now for almost 4 years, doing a super good job there, is running as well, Monday through Thursday, and also on Sundays, from all age groups, from 5 all the way up to 18. They obviously come at different times, teens, preteens, but that is a program. I know a lot of kids' activities might be stopping soon due to the weather. That's definitely the case with a lot of the rugby and the football guys. So if you want to get your kids, or I wonder if we have any young listeners, send me a message if you're a young listener. Do kids listen to podcasts, or do they just ticking and talking and all that kind of stuff? Anyway, keeping it all things CrossFit, this weekend is the quarterfinals, and we have a number of people who have qualified from the gym. I would try and recite all the names, but I might miss someone off, probably my wife. So I'll say Holly qualified, and then I've made sure I've covered her and everyone else. Anyway, those workouts are released on Thursday, and the guys will be doing those here at the gym Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday, and Sunday morning. So if you're around, you're in Dubai, you want to give them a little bit of support, or you just like to see, I said this during the open, you just like to see people work out really hard, which can be pretty good fun as well. The quarterfinals for the next step of the CrossFit Games is underway this weekend. We wish them all a great time, have a lot of fun, and show no weakness. And I'm sure if it's meant to be, it'll happen for them. The final thing, which is obviously brings all of this nicely together. So if you send your kids to the academy, if you send your kids and teens into the kids and teens class, or if you just go to the class, or if you go to track, whatever you do, then you come up to the cafe. And if you want to treat yourself or your work colleagues or your family to the baked goods that we have in the cafe, we are now doing them as half dozens and dozens, pre-orders for takeaway, and of course, a slightly special price as well. What's my favorite is something that I get asked quite a lot, and I struggle going away from the chocolate stuff. So the tahina flapjack, which has like this chocolate thing on the top, absolutely love it. The blondie, which has chocolate chips in it, absolutely love that. And then obviously the chocolate cookie. So I'm not a good one to ask. Like, I like the apricot and macadamia, but you know, and I'll have banana bread, but if there's chocolate there, I'm taking the chocolate one. So you decide. You can mix and match them. You can have all different stuff in the same box. Sixes, dozens, 18s, two dozens if you want. Whatever you want, let them know at the cafe and they will arrange it for you. That's it for this week's show announcements. Let's get into the show. This is episode number 896 of the Inner Fight Podcast. Pericarditis with Hayden Smith. No matter where you are in the world, thanks for tuning in. Let's get into today's show. Hayden, 6 years on, for those of you that didn't listen, episode number 458 was when we first spoke, mate. Welcome to Dubai. It's been 12 years since you were here.
Yeah, it's the first time back since we moved back to Australia. Stoked to be here. Great to be out of the Inner Fight gym for the first time. Yeah, good to be back in Dubai. This time with my family and wife, obviously, as well. So it's like it feels like a full circle moment because we wouldn't be where we are now back in Australia without our time here. So it's good to be back.
It must be weird. Yeah, when you left Dubai, you left to go and pursue a dream back in Australia and you're on the way back through for another reason, but you're now with two other humans, mate. So congratulations for producing two great humans as well.
Yeah, thank you. Life's changed for the better as we've gotten older. So yeah, it's great to have my son and my daughter here with us as well and to be able to show them the place that mum and dad lived for a few years before they were born. So yeah, it's good.
You started here at Wild Wadi. Yep. And yesterday I saw a video of your son Duke at Wild Wadi. That must have been quite surreal, mate.
Mate, it's amazing. Duke and I were going up the water slide at Wild Wadi and I laughed to myself because he was sitting in front of me on the two-person slide. And when India and I first moved here, I remember one of the first things we did was go to Wild Wadi and I can still remember us going up the slide with her sitting in front of me. So it's, it's very, very cool.
It is cool. We won't reminisce too much on Dubai. I think you've got a lot more value. One of your values, mate, has always been hard work. And we spoke about it a lot when we had a chat in episode 458. But I think it's worth revisiting because till that point, you'd worked incredibly hard. Since that point, you've worked incredibly hard. But you somehow describe talent and hard work in quite a unique but very concise way. Can you do that for us again?
Yeah, I hear the term talent thrown around in sport or business or whatever it may be. And this person's good because they're talented. And
yeah.
And I've heard a bunch of people say, I'm not talented, I just have to work really hard. But I often say to them, well what is talent? And people can't describe it. Like if I say, well, what is talent? Have you ever considered that talent is your ability to work hard? Of course, for me, that's how I, you know, that is definitely my talent. I haven't naturally been able to swim fast without working hard for it. I haven't been successful in business without working incredibly hard. I haven't grown a team of 900 people that work for me without working hard on it every day. So for me, I know if I have a talent, it is the ability to work hard. And I really believe in most endeavors that people are successful are just the people that can endure a bit longer than everyone else and work harder.
It's a really interesting outlook and it's really brings everything together, doesn't it, mate? Because like the work you're doing here in Dubai is very different from the McDonald's franchises you have in Australia. And you probably didn't really know much about that business before you went into it, did you?
No, I had a good friend that I knew through sport that was a franchisee for McDonald's in Australia. And I think the thing that attracted me to McDonald's was it's a competitive industry as in everything is KPI driven at McDonald's. So for someone like me, that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was passionate about developing people and looking after and seeing a team of people grow. Mm. So we've grown from one store where we started and in the last 5 years, we've gone from one store to six stores and we now have close to 900 people that work for us. And the thing that I'm most proud about is our ability to, as we have grown, to give people opportunity and see them flourish and for our standards to have continued to get better and improve the bigger we have gotten.
Have you always looked up to sports coaches?
Absolutely. I reckon I've been really fortunate to have some amazing coaches, which I have learnt so much from, not just about how to train,
yeah,
but about how to set goals, how to be consistent and persistent, how to not let one failure or one shortcoming define you, how to learn from not reaching your goals to reach them, reach higher than your current goals in the future. So, you know, I have a history of now 35 years in sport and have trained under Olympic coaches, but have just trained under some wonderful people that I've learnt a lot from. So, yeah, they play a big role in who I am now for sure.
What are you looking for in a coach? What's drawn you to certain coaches?
Someone that makes me feel motivated to want to push and to achieve. And they do that in a number of ways. They make me feel safe in the environment that I'm in, whether it be at the pool or in a business perspective or whatever. They are concise and straight to the point. They are open to me asking questions so I can learn. And they're excellent at giving feedback. And I have never taken feedback. Well, I've tried to never take feedback at work or at sport personally, but in both areas use them as a way for me to be better.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to approach still training now. I've swum for 35 years and I still try to approach it with an open mind that I should continue to have an open mindset to doing things better.
You've summed up both being a coach and also being coachable, which there's great coaches that, okay, you could say a great coach can figure out how to make anyone coachable, but being coachable is actually a skill in itself as well.
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite coach? Who do you sort of look up to?
Is a guy that he was actually the same age as me. His name was Michael Sage. He's now, I believe, the open water swimming coach of the Australian Olympic swimming team, or one of them. And I swam with him in my late 20s. And he was without a doubt the toughest coach that I have ever had.
Right.
Incredibly strict, incredibly tough program. Yet I've rarely been so engaged and motivated to want and come and test myself because he was invested in me. And this is back in my 20s when I was competing full on. He was really invested in me becoming the best I could be. And I knew he looked at me as an individual and wanted to help me improve. And he had almost no filter in giving feedback. And it was an incredible environment to be a part of. So, you know, I loved training under him. And actually one of the other best coaches I had is not a sports coach, as a business coach. He's my mentor in McDonald's and the guy that got me into the business. He's also a very good triathlete and still today a much faster marathon runner than me, as he proved a year ago in Chicago.
Do you have to put that in? Is that part of his remuneration package?
His name's Gary. I say to him, mate, if we at some point, because he's over 10 years, 15 years older than me, at some point he'll be over the hill.
Right.
And I'll hopefully marathon running still be coming up the hill, but we haven't got to that point yet. So we ran Chicago together in 2022 and we went through halfway within 5 seconds of each other.
Wow.
And he put 6 minutes into me in the second half.
Wow.
So yeah, anyway, I'm still chasing him. But yeah, he's been a great coach for me. He's been, you know, close to 40 years in McDonald's, 35, 40 years in McDonald's. So knows a lot, all there is to know. But I have learned a lot from him and he's never really forced his position on certain things onto me, but been there as a great sounding board, allowed me to make my own mistakes as I've gone through and learned from them. And then the third one is a good friend of mine who I actually compete against in Surf Life Saving, who I did a personal development course with last year for 6 months. Course, I sort of, we had our national surf titles in April 2023. And I was really, really committed. It's the biggest event of the year for surf life saving, which is a big sport in Australia. And I had probably gone in a bit too deep in preparing for it. And I got a great outcome. I won 7 gold medals and 1 silver medal from 9 events, the most gold medals in the whole country, but left feeling actually fairly unfulfilled and just relieved, not happy. And I knew, I actually spoke to him after the carnival. He said, "How do you feel?" Because he could sense it. And I said, "Not how I should feel." So when I think when, you know, I had trained incredibly hard in my 40s, I was going to the pool, swimming in a great squad with guys, with good mates of mine, but also guys that I have to compete against. And I was there to go and kick everyone's ass. And now that's cool. And it gave me really good outcomes in the competition and I competed really well. But I think if I've got certain buckets that are important to me, I'd probably disregarded a couple of those buckets in investing too much in this sporting competition bucket, which is fine, but I wasn't that comfortable at the age of 42 to necessarily be doing that. So anyway, I'm probably, you know, gone a little bit off track, but the guy that that I did this course with for 6 months has been it's been one of the most amazing 6 months of my life in terms of personal discovery. So
I actually want to go on that track a little bit, mate, because I think it's important for people to hear it. And I actually think it's maybe why you're able to achieve what you're able to do, because you're able to create such narrow focus on something. Yep. But when we create narrow focus on something, something else has to give. Time is finite.
Absolutely.
How... You've obviously got some mixed feelings about that. And as you said at the end, you didn't feel the way you should feel. The gold medals are not really that interesting anymore. How, what do you feel about what you gave up to get?
Essentially, when I finished our national titles, everyone was saying, "Oh, that, like, your results are outstanding." Which I was really happy about, don't get me wrong, because I had invested a lot to get there, so I wanted to get the outcome.
Yeah.
But I knew when I finished that the balance wasn't right, and I didn't know how to address it.
Wow.
So for 6 months, I worked with a mate, Josh, who does this full-time, on just probably just learning more about myself, to be honest. There's all things that I knew, but a lot of the work was just self-reflection on really finding out what's important to me.
Yeah.
And some ways I could go about finding better balance in my life and mindfulness of what's important. So if I have a number of buckets that are important to me, my family is the first one, my wife and my children, my marriage, my business, fitness being mental and physical fitness. Financial is one. And then the competition bucket is one. And I'm at the point now after, you know, close to 12 months of work of having a good idea on who I am and what I'm about, funnily enough at 43 years of age. But I also have some strategies to go, if I want to invest in one of these buckets heavily, that's okay, but being mindful of not disregarding the other ones. So it's probably, you know, I've been through a bit health-wise, which I'm sure we'll get to over the last 12 or 8 months. But I think one of the best examples for me personally where I thought I've really made some positive traction is we're here and we're on our way to Barcelona and I'm missing our national surf titles this year for the trip, and I'm 100% comfortable with it, which I wouldn't have been 12 months ago. So yeah. I'm proud that I've got to this point where I'm a much more balanced person than I was before.
That's almost the way that it's supposed to be, mate. When we're younger, we're told to focus and we get this focus and we get this single-mindedness that allows us to achieve whatever it is, be it in sport. And that comes at the cost of relationships, sometimes different opportunities. Yeah. And then we get to a point where that narrow-mindedness still gets us, in this example that we're using, gets us these titles, these gold medals, but it starts to feel empty because we actually realize that what's important is the wife, children, the business, and other things. So we come to a point where we're having to unlearn or unprogram what we've programmed for so long, what we've been told. Like, you know, you got kids these days or youngsters these days working for you, get some focus.
Absolutely. I've probably gone from, and I still believe it, it's hard to be the best at something you want to be and have perfect balance in all areas of your life at all.
This doesn't exist, right?
No. So certainly athletically, yeah. Even at our age, if you want to be the best at your age in something, it's difficult to 24/7 have balance across everything. But for me, I think when I had some really, really significant health issues in 2023, at the same time I was doing this course, funny how the world works, because I wouldn't have dealt with that illness if I hadn't been doing this work on myself. It really crystallized for me what's important and what makes me happy. It's not money.
Mm.
It's not a gold medal. It is balance and a great relationship with India, healthy and happy kids, and me being healthy, happy, fit and strong.
Mm.
I've definitely got to be fit and strong to feel confident, happy with myself.
Yeah.
But it's not that single-minded focus on something that makes me happy.
Well, no one wakes up, looks in the mirror and looks at a body that's a little bit overweight and feels a bit shit because of what they've eaten the night before and goes, fuck yeah, this is it, I'm killing it. Like,
no, I that agree.
Doesn't. So I think...
But I've had the times of eating too many M&Ms on the couch as well, mate. We all have.
What did we speak about in the last show? We spoke about a burger a day and we're gonna come to that in a bit. One thing that's interesting here, mate, we started off with sports coaches, and because you and I both love sport, that's an easy common ground. But we fast went to a business coach, stroke mentor, and also almost... I don't know if it's life coaching or more sort of performance coaching to get you to understand who you are. What made you go and get a business coach? Because it sounds like he came sort of first.
Yeah. So I didn't seek him out. He was a friend of mine that helped me and my application to be accepted into McDonald's.
Right.
And I think just through that friendship, he has been a great friend for a long time.
Mm.
But has always been there on a business level to help me if I've needed some guidance as well. So it's a friendship that's morphed at times into some business assistance when I've needed it and I've needed a second opinion. But it certainly started on a friendship level.
But it's because it's tough. What you've done, you've gone out on your own. You left here with a dream to set up McDonald's.
Yep.
Entrepreneur, solopreneur, whatever they call it these days. It's lonely, mate. And you need that. You need, like, aside from your wife, who's an incredible support for you, who do you chat to?
So it's changed over the years. Who do I chat to from a business perspective now is actually fairly dialed in. I've got, I would say, at most 6 peers, so other franchisees in McDonald's that I'm really close with.
Nice.
Some of those I would speak to every day. Like probably 6 days a week, I would speak to a couple of them. Wow. And it might be something business-specific related.
Mm.
It might be shooting the breeze. It might be having a laugh with each other.
Right.
And now we take the time, we make sure on a social level we catch up at business functions as well. And then my wife is number one. So even this morning on holidays, we're talking business at 4:30 this morning in the hotel room about a couple of things we need to discuss. And then we have a wonderful general manager, Anna, who is 20 years in McDonald's shortly. And she continues to impress India and I with her leadership. And her passion for the brand and her love for the team that we've created. So she's the other one that I share and talk to.
So you've almost, over the time, you've now built a structure for yourself. How does it go? Some people are listening to that and going, mate, you're on holiday, 4:30 a.m., talking to your wife about your business. I'm out.
Yeah.
How does that go?
So nothing's for free. Let's say you own your own business, and McDonald's is a wonderful business for me to be in, and it has given my family and I a lot, and I love it. But there is a shadow to owning your own business, as you know. It is, I can't leave at 5 o'clock and be clocked off. I am literally 24/7, and I'm here on holidays, but I am still talking to my team every day. Be talking to multiple type people, especially Anna, every day on holidays. And I have never, ever felt it's a sacrifice to do it. Never. It has never been an imposition or a sacrifice because I love it. So I love it and it's important to me and it's a huge part of my life and the people on the team are important. So I have never had a problem investing in that as we've gone over 10 years. And so, it doesn't matter whether it's 4:30 in the morning, 8:30 at night, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday lunchtime, it doesn't matter. It's 24/7.
Does India love it as much as you do?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yep. I couldn't do it. We wouldn't be successful if it was just me.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely a partnership.
That's very cool. Talk to us about the sort of course you did and the other bit of coaching, which sounds like a lot of self-coaching as well, mate, to, like you said, to understand yourself a little bit more, because this is something that's also massively missing. I mean, and that's why I think this is such a great conversation, because we know about sports coaches and the greats, and you know, you're so clear and concise about why coaches are great. I love that. Business coaching is getting a bit more, but coaching on almost a high performance level to help people to understand who they are and what they are. It's rarely spoken about, but I mean, we do it a lot here, and it's once you connect those dots or once you start to create those conversations, the whole game changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to be happy to show vulnerability or to talk about your own opportunities and to be able to identify them. So I think self-reflection is a skill that is really important that we should all have and all work on all the time. And when I self-reflect on me, I knew I was overly competitive at times. And there's a risk of me portraying that to 900 staff that work for me who are not built like me. So I am where I am because of who I am. But I have to be careful that very few of my 900 strong team are built like me. And so that was one big part. And another thing I realized was that I would have this incredible narrow focus that would, if I needed to dial into something specific, I would always get the outcome I needed in that area, whatever it may be, to the detriment of some other things. And nothing has fallen apart, but you know, I have some great mates in my life that are in the surf club and stuff as well. And I think at times friendships haven't played enough of a focus for me because I've been too busy with work, too busy with training, competing, and too busy with my family. But at some point when I'm older, I'll be retired. I won't be competing. My kids will have grown up and left home. And I was caught thinking, well, shit, what's going to be left? It'll be India and I. But like, I've got to invest in friendships as well and social circles. And that has been something that hasn't always come naturally to me. Summarizing it, I think I was good at self-reflecting, wanted some help to have some strategies to be the best person I could be moving forward, because I owe it to my family, owe it to my team at McDonald's, and owe it to myself to go, you only get one shot at it. let's do the best we can be. Because I think the better person that I am, the better I'll be in business, the better husband I'll be, the better dad I'll be, probably the better athlete I'll be, and the more rounded I'll be.
I agree 100%. And you said it a few minutes ago, mate. You said something, the way that you are, the energy that you give off will have a big impact on those around you, and but not everyone around you is you.
Yep.
And it's almost the mindset and the intelligence to figure that out, which just sounds like you're more than on the
way.
More than on the way.
Yeah.
That was 2023. Another thing that was big in 2023 was, you've sort of touched on it a couple of times, a brush with your health. Let's put it that way. Talk to us about that, mate.
So in April 2023, we, like I spoke about, had our national surf life saving titles, competed really well. The next month started on this personal development course. Got to July, was making good progress, was really fit. And I remember on a Tuesday night, I was running on the track and running really well, feeling good. Thursday, I started to feel off. Went to work, but didn't. I felt unwell. Couldn't take a full breath. Like, I physically couldn't breathe properly. Didn't know what it was. By Friday, I actually thought, by Friday or Saturday, I knew I was really sick. Something wasn't right. And one of my good mates that I run with is my doctor as well.
Useful.
So on Monday, I went and saw him first thing Monday morning. We did some blood tests and a chest x-ray. And he left his work on that day, drove to my house at 7 o'clock at night. He said, this is what's happening. You've got to go to emergency. You've got to go to the hospital. I said, okay, tomorrow morning. He said, no, like literally right now. You've got to go right now. So he left his work to drive to my house to tell me. So I had gotten pericarditis, which is the pericardium is the sac around the heart, and mine had filled with fluid, which was compressing my heart. So I had lost 40% of my red blood cells. I was totally anemic, so I had zero iron left. And I had this, sac compressing on my heart. And on Monday when I went to the hospital, I parked 200 meters from the door. So this is less than a week from when I was running quick on the track. And I thought I was going to faint a couple of times walking 200 meters to the front door of the hospital. So when I first got in there, they said, well, you need to test you for cancer and leukemia. And mate, talk about a life-changing moment right there. Turns out, in summary, I got it from a viral infection. So potentially COVID, potentially COVID immunization. Don't know, doesn't really matter. Just unlucky. And so at one point, so they gave me a drug called colchicine, which is an anti-inflammatory. And they said, if this doesn't work, we're going to have to drill into your chest and drain the pericardium manually, which didn't really want them to do, clearly. Thankfully, the drug worked, but I was in a really, really bad way. And I definitely thought, at worst, I hope I can recover some sort of health to live some sort of a normal life after it. I definitely thought that's probably the end of my sporting career. And I hoped it wasn't the end of me being here, full stop. And I was really, really worried. So I was in the cardiac ward for a week. I was literally in the fetal position for 2 weeks at home. And it's taken 8 months to get back to where I was, which doctor said 12 to 18 months. Fast forward through the most hard work and commitment to being resilient that I have ever shown in my life. We had our state surf life saving titles 2 weeks ago and felt I competed maybe better than I ever have. Wow. And I don't actually really care about it. I got 7 gold and 2 silver from 9 races, but actually didn't really care about the results or the medals at all. Was just so fucking relieved that I had my health back. Because when I was really sick in hospital, I had a resting heart rate of 95 beats in the middle of the night. I couldn't walk. I couldn't think. I couldn't work. when I got out of hospital for 2 weeks, like legitimately my entire day's focus, I could maybe send 2 emails in a whole day. I did zero exercise for 3 months. I haven't done that for 35 years, like ever in my life since I started exercise. I've never had 3 months off ever. And so mentally, that was like incredibly difficult to deal with. I felt unhealthy, which I was. I felt unfit, which I was. I felt pasty white, which I was. And I was sad. But I wasn't depressed because I was committed pretty early on that I would go through these times of going, I might never compete again. And then I actually went, actually screw that. If you line 50, 42-year-olds up next to each other, I'll be the one person that gets all the way back. And I was just dogged, determined to get there. So I started after 3 months of 20 to 30 minutes exercise a day, tops 140 heart rate, which was basically at that point like going for a walk.
Getting out of the
got
bed.
Back in the pool, and I felt like I had literally felt like I had never swum before. And I reckon 3 months after I got sick, I did a stress test with my cardiologist and all the inflammation had left the sac. I had no damage to the heart muscle itself. And he said to me, turn your heart rate monitor off, go and pick a race and get back to it. Get back to what you love doing. Start becoming yourself again. So I had 12 days. I had not done anything for 3 months and I had 12 days until the Coolangatta Gold, which is a couple of hour Ironman race in Australia. And I just had this feeling. I thought, you know what? I don't care if I go and get my ass kicked. I just want to go and do something to feel like I just wanted to feel like myself again. And so I entered this race. I did 12 days of aerobic training, entered this race. I won my age group on basically no training, but I was so happy. It was a pretty ordinary performance athletically, but I was just over the moon to be back there doing what I love, feeling like myself. Wasn't fit. And I didn't tell my doctor I was doing it. Which, that's the
until
one,
after.
Yeah, that's the one time I've misbehaved in 8 months. everything else I have followed to the T. So totally overhauled my diet. I never used to focus on diet or sleep. And it's, you know, the number one focus of me every day now.
Wow.
But in and after that Coolangatta Gold race, I thought, okay, like I've finished the race. I'm really unfit. I still won. Let's be careful, but let's start trying to recover yourself. And that's when my mindset changed to go, no, I'm going to beat this no matter what it takes, no matter how hard I've got to work, no matter how many setbacks I get. And, mate, I was going to races at the start of this summer and getting my ass handed to me by people that I would usually always be significantly quicker than. And I was fine with it. I was like, I just got to go through it. I've got to keep bashing my head against the wall. And slowly but surely, I started to see some green sprouts and the tide started to turn. And then I reckon it was after 6 months, like that, I had been swimming 30 Ks a week every week. And just, I can remember the day I woke up and I'm like, geez, I feel good today.
Wow.
Like I feel healthy. And I went training, I went swimming, and I swam way quicker than I have. I was like, okay, it's only one day, don't get ahead of yourself. And I went training that afternoon, and again, same thing. I went swimming the next morning, same thing again. And there have been, that was when the tide just turned, the tide started to come back in, and I just felt it at the time. And there have been days since then that like haven't been great because I've been tired or fatigued or stressed at work or whatever. But it's taken me 8 months to get back to where I was, and mate, I'm so grateful to have been through it. Because whilst it was the, for me personally, it was health wise, it was by far the worst thing I've ever been through in my life. It was really formative and a really great like a great thing for me to go through, because it showed me how tough and resilient I was, and I proved it to myself, not for anyone else but myself. But it also made me look at my diet. look at my sleep, look at recovery, things that I have never done before. And I've got a really good balance now where I'm like, I'm healthier and happier for it. So
what causes pericarditis, mate?
It was just a viral infection. So they think potentially COVID. Right. So the guys in the hospital told me they've seen a lot more of it since COVID, but they can't definitively go, you definitely got it because you had COVID.
So it's not, if it's viral, it's not related to lifestyle choices, like there. So the prompts that you spoke about of changing your diet, changing your sleep and managing your stress better, they're not actually the causes of what you had.
They weren't the cause of me getting it.
Right.
But because I got it, I looked at, okay, I'm going to get better from this, but to get better, I need to be 100% over everything. That includes having the right diet, getting enough sleep. Because I knew that I was burning the candle on both of those massively. So I would go through.
Why, if you knew it, why were you doing it?
Because I was still getting the outcomes whilst burning the candle. So I would work till 11 o'clock at night. I'd eat a block of chocolate on the couch. I'd have 4 or 5 hours sleep. I'd still get up at 4 o'clock, be in the pool at 5 o'clock, still flog myself for 2 hours, still go to work all day, do the same thing in the afternoon, but I was getting the results still. But I knew despite that, that I wasn't, that's not sustainable long-term. But it just took something significant for me to change it.
But if you knew in the moment, what was stopping you from addressing it?
Oh, I don't, it's a shortcoming that I wasn't addressing it of my own for sure. Mm. But the thing that changed it was felt like I nearly lost everything. Mm. Right? So everything happens for a reason potentially. My shortcoming was knowing that I didn't have the right diet or rest or wasn't getting that balance right. Shortcoming of me for not changing it, but it took something absolutely life-altering for me to go, actually, this is a good opportunity for me to look at how can I be the healthiest I can be across the board.
Why do you think it takes that though, mate? There's people listening that are doing exactly the same. Yep. They look at their sleep, they wear some tracker that they've worn for years, but are ignoring all of the data. The data tells them every day, your sleep's too low, your recovery's crap. They're also eating a block of chocolate or a lot more on the couch at night. Mm. They're doing all of the same things that you were doing.
Yep.
And if you ask anyone, they know that it's wrong. Mm. You got hit in the face by a viral disease or a viral infection that attacked your heart and that slowed you down.
Yep.
Why don't we slow down before something like that happens?
Oh, good question. I wonder if it's a lack of discipline. Because, like, I'm a really disciplined person.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't want to portray, like, I don't drink, rarely. I've never spoken, never done drugs. Mm. I'm fit and healthy. So, like, I didn't have a sedentary lifestyle by any means. No. Like, I've got a vice, which is the chocolate probably still is. But, I look at it and go, well, I'm disciplined, but maybe I wasn't as disciplined in my own personal health as I should have been. Mm. It's a good question though, but it definitely took that life-altering moment for me to go, actually, stop. Let's actually do some work on this.
Do you think you're perhaps subconsciously too attached to the outcomes, and by that potentially within swimming and within surf life-saving, you have subconsciously insanely attached to winning titles, and in your business you were subconsciously insanely attached to the financial success of your business?
I'm KPI driven without a doubt.
Yeah,
everywhere I know every rep to the second in the pool, I know every rep to the second on the track, I know what I can paddle, I know what I can run, I know what I can swim, I know what business KPIs. I looked at my business KPIs at 4:05 in the morning every day for 10 years. Alarm goes off at 4:05. The first thing I do is look at reports from work the day before. Mm. I'm insanely attached to KPIs, and that has gotten me great outcomes. Mm. But Potentially, like, and that's been a big part of the work I've done is not being overly attached to those all the time as a measure of success. So what does success look like for me? It can't just be about outcomes.
It could be, but those outcomes could be related to your health.
And the outcomes are related to the process of managing your health better, having a good diet, having the right sleep, developing great people in business.
What's the feeling, mate, when you wake up at 4:05 and you check the KPIs? You have some stores that are open 24 hours?
They're all but one are open 24 all hours, so one. Five or six are 24 hours.
What's the feeling at 4:06 or 4:07 when you're going through the KPIs?
It's changed over time for sure. So I used to, I shake my head when I think about myself when I first started in McDonald's, because I used to live and die by those KPIs, every KPI, every day. And a absolutely to the point where I would be in the stores ensuring I got the KPI outcomes myself, which is super unhealthy. That's changed over time to where I still look at it as a measure of progress, but I don't live and die by the results absolutely anymore. So if we have, as we will, because we're six stores and 900 people, and every KPI is measured every hour of every day, right? We will have some hours that the KPIs are not meeting our standards for a variety of different reasons. They'll, piece of equipment's broken. They'll have three buses arrive at the store at once. Someone will be sick and have to go home. Like, something can happen. So nowadays I track it, but I don't action one-off not meeting a KPI anymore. Anna and I discuss it on a weekly, sometimes daily basis if we need to. But what I have realized is with the culture that we've created in our stores, we seldomly ever have a KPI that doesn't meet our own expectations because someone doesn't try. And I say to my guys, if you turn up to work, you are well presented, you're coachable, you try your best, you look after your crew, the results will take care of themselves almost all the time, and certainly on average, which is what in business we report. So I seldomly ever see someone in any one of our stores have poor outcomes because they don't try. So therefore, if they're trying and they're the right people because we've put them in those positions, everything's fine.
So how do you put that mindset and that operating system that resonates so well with you into what you said earlier is the most important thing in your life, your family?
Yeah, well, it's the greatest responsibility I've ever had is raising my son and my daughter. And I try to make sure that I'm the best at this stage when they're nine and they're six. I try to be the best example to them as I possibly can be. So I tell them I love them five times a day, at least every day, subconsciously, but I know I do it every day.
So that's one KPI.
I hug them and kiss them every day.
Nice.
Because in our generation, a generation ago, that didn't necessarily happen from your dad, right?
No, absolutely.
I had the greatest dad ever, but we didn't hug. No. I didn't get a kiss from him.
No.
He didn't really tell me he loved me, but I knew he loved me more than anything in the world. So with my kids, I do that, and then I want them to look at me and go, my dad is strong, fit, healthy and happy, and he's consistent, and they won't know this yet, but high expectations and high standards of them within reason. So do they meet them all the way?
I'm sure they're fast learning that, mate.
Definitely not, but they're great kids, and that's our biggest responsibility for India and I for sure.
So when you wake up at 4:05 now, what do you do?
In order?
Yeah.
4:05, I get up, check KPIs, go to the toilet.
Still?
Yeah, every day.
So the business is still a bigger priority than the family?
So no, it definitely falls below the family, but at 4:05, I'm the only silly one in our family that's awake. So we take it in turns nowadays. I get Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday mornings.
Right.
He gets Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday mornings. Nice. So nice. She has a short walk, short gym, and a long coffee.
Okay.
I have a long training session and a couple of short coffees. And so in order, it's up, check business results, drink espresso, go training.
Awesome.
And then after training, typically call Anna and I'll go and meet her and then get on with the day from there. Now that our kids are getting a little bit older, we have swimming lessons one afternoon a week. Duke does little athletics on Friday night, so that's a dad and son date, which is nice. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then he surfs every day. And then it's just joined the local board riders club. So once a month they have competition. So he had his first surfing competition a month ago. So
that's awesome.
I was nervous for him actually.
And that's kind of what I was digging at a little bit there. Like maybe it's not wrong. It's definitely not wrong. There's no right or wrong. It's your life. If at 4:05 you want to check your KPIs or at 4:05 you want to get on social media, like these are the choices that we all have.
Yep.
But it seems now that you're in better control. We're not going to change the behavior.
Yep.
You still want to wake up and check.
Yep.
And I think I find myself doing this sometimes as well, mate. Like if you're not going to do it at 4:05, you're going to do it at 8:12.
When your kids are awake.
So yep. Like, is it wrong? You know, yeah. we see a lot of people saying, oh, don't touch your phone for the first 3 hours of the day. And that could be great for some people, you know. But if you're under control and if you are ticking the KPIs of telling the kids 5 times a day that you love them, hugging them,
yeah.
creating that connection, they're your KPIs on your most important silo.
Yes.
Then who's to argue? It's not up to me to argue what time you check your McDonald's KPIs.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm really aware that when I'm at home with the kids, I need to be present with the kids. So for me, there's been a difference between being there and actually being there.
Yeah.
So I've at times caught myself, or India has definitely let me know.
Yeah.
Are you okay there? Like we're all here as well. So that's been an area of big improvement for me. So whilst I will check outcomes and KPIs, I'm not tied to the outcome on a day-to-day basis anymore. But on the flip side, it's my business.
Yeah.
And I have a duty of care to 900 employees. I have responsibilities and obligations to meet to the bank.
Mm.
And I have responsibilities to the 6 million people that my stores serve every year. So I can't be flippant about it because it's not I'm at home, so I'm not working. Like I've got a duty of care and responsibility to a number of people in business that I need to see them through. But, you know, my family comes first, but, you know, they've got a lot of important things I need to manage all the time.
Do you see yourself as a coach to those 900 people?
Absolutely. Coach, leader, psychiatrist, mentor, disciplinarian, friend.
How do you wear all those hats?
Well, it's different for different people. So for Anna, she rarely needs me to be a coach to her, certainly at times.
Mm.
But of all the 900 people, she's the person that needs this McDonald's specific coaching less than everyone else.
Right.
She never, ever, ever. My top management team of 10 people, they don't ever need me. I have never had to discipline any of them because they're there because they buy into our culture.
Mm.
So they don't take shortcuts. They're all hard workers.
Yeah.
They are all as super resilient as me. So I don't need to ever play the disciplinarian to them. But to the 14-year-old crew person that wants to wear a nose ring and have painted nails at work that we don't allow, or that will do the wrong thing, at times I have to wear the disciplinarian hat. But I think whatever hat I'm wearing, it's all focused on the team and all the individuals becoming better over time for it.
Yeah, it's so apparent, mate. It's so cool. We're 5.5 years since we last had you on. And it's been wild, mate. You've opened new stores. You've your children. I mean, your daughter was, I mean, based on the math, was literally 6 months old.
Yep.
Lots has changed. You got a big wake up call, I guess, in 2023. I don't know if it'll be 2 years or 5 years till I manage to get you back again, mate. Where is, what do you see for the coming years now? Is it different? Do you start to see an exit from McDonald's? Do you, you know, how does it look?
I think about it all the time. Sorry, not all the time, but I do think about it. What does my long-term plan look like?
All the time's fine as well, because yeah, it's something there.
Yeah, so certainly I love it at the moment, so I have no thoughts about, am I ready to downscale? Mm. I actually think we're halfway through our building phase, probably. Wow. After maybe two-thirds through our building phase. I have always said we will continue to grow our business if, number one, we can afford to at the time when there's an opportunity. Number two, we have the people and the resource to be able to do it, and that growth can give someone an opportunity to further their own career.
Amazing.
And number three, I will only do it if we can uphold the same standards for our customers that we can do now. That's cool. So I don't want to grow if I feel we can't do it, because I'm not driven by the money from having to open another store, but I'm driven by the challenge of doing it and doing it better than everyone else. And it's not about, like, it's less about what's winning and what's being happy, but it's around, like, my team and my people, can they get an opportunity to grow their own career and their own knowledge as the business grows? Mm. And can we continue to execute? I like to think, you know, I'll do it. I sort of got a line in the sand. When I'm 55, if I still love it as much as I do now, I'll keep going.
Wow.
But I don't want to be doing it when I'm 70, right? Because I don't want to become so attached to it that it's the only thing I have going on. Mm. Certainly personally, in the years moving forward, health and fitness, mental and physical, would continue to be at the forefront for me personally. Mm. And then having my kids grow up and pursue their own dreams, and encouraging and helping them do that, mm, will be important. And, mate, just living a more balanced and happy lifestyle. And, I want to be exercising and training until the day I die. So I want to make sure that I've got the body and the mind to allow me to do it.
Mate, from where I'm looking, you've got one defender. I don't think two defenders will make you any better or more successful. So I think you've made it. Anyway. Yeah. We had a great conversation the last time we had you on, mate. And all the time when we chat, whether it's remotely or when we catch up, we seem to have a good conversation. And yeah, it's a great story, mate. I'm going to put it out there, and maybe this show won't be going when we're both 70, but I think you'll still be doing it in some capacity, because you're a coach, mate, and you love coaching.
It's dawned on me just in the last 6 months, like we were speaking about this morning, that I never thought I would coach in sport. Mm. But I have come to realise that, you know, my job is coaching people. 100%. It's not about the Big Macs and the cheeseburgers.
Nothing about that.
Not at all. That's just a vehicle to allow me to coach and help people grow. But it's now also come into sport as well, coaching some people in Surf Life Saving. Surprisingly found I loved it. But, you know, for me personally, like, you know, I can't remember ever not loving training and the feeling it gives me. Mm. So, you know, I'm at my best when I am strong, fit and healthy. Mm. And so I'm never going to walk away from that ever. I know it's the foundation of me and who I am is being fit and healthy and strong, because it obviously makes you feel good and is obviously really good for longevity, but it has given me resilience and toughness that's allowed me to succeed elsewhere.
It's amazing. Mate, inspirational as always. I appreciate you. Appreciate everything you share with us, mate. I appreciate what you share on your social media as well. It's always real and inspiring, and it's good watching the Duke grow up as well. That's that's always good. So, mate, thank you so much, and just continue.
Thanks, please. Mate. It's been great to see you back in Dubai, and different from our normal catch-ups in Noosa. Yeah, exactly. Good to be at the Inner Fight gym, so thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Good stuff.